Yeah, so Frank Craig was writing that Donegal was given 13,748 tickets, clubs in Donegal were. The 40 affiliated clubs within the county have now received their membership orders, although a number of clubs have since taken to social media to reveal that they haven't been able to satisfy all adult requests. Donegal Live, where the article is published, understands that some clubs have been left short because of internal membership oversights, where they failed to move over their paid LGFA and Camogie membership to the Foreign Login system. And because of that, the metric for Donegal's adult membership allocation was the Foreign system reading. Donegal's season ticket membership of 1,230 will also be met, independent of the 13,748 figure. So it's effectively 15,000 tickets coming into the county's clubs. Croke Park officials' official capacity is 82,000. 10,000 of that usually is earmarked for corporate and premium on All-Ireland final day. 12,000 tickets are also put aside for the likes of the Croke Park residents, staff, referees, press, overseas groups, etc. And the remaining 40-odd thousand tickets go to supporters throughout the various county boards. That's not 40, that's 60, isn't it? The county board with the competing counties receiving the most significant allocation there. Effectively, 20,000 further tickets go to various clubs around the country, and I think that leaves about 40,000. That's my off the hoof maths, I believe. So that's perhaps where we're at. Right, Cliona and Freya Kennedy. Cliona, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you keeping?
We're very good, thank you. All right, very much
Freya,
for having us.
Freya, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Very good indeed. And we're talking about you because your hair is pink.
Yeah.
And why did you dye it pink?
So my friend Kiva in Dublin was diagnosed with cancer a week and a half ago. So I dyed it pink for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, I'm going down to Dublin to go shave my head with her.
Okay. That's a decision she's making because presumably there'll be hair loss with her treatment. So you're going to shave your head in solidarity
with her.
How big a call was that to make? I know it's your friend and I know it's really important, but it's obvious that you've got lovely hair and you've looked after it and all that type of stuff. So it is a sacrifice for you.
I don't mind doing it because I've known her whole life.
Yeah.
So, and we're really close. So it's just hair.
And what kind of a lift has she got from you being so supportive of her?
I think she's very happy that I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I think she's scared to do it as well.
Of course, but when your really good friend is doing something the same as you're doing, it makes it a bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it just goes to show that kindness can help.
Yeah, indeed. You must be so proud, Cliona.
I honestly can't get over it. It was the first thing that Freya said to us when we heard about poor Kiva. Kiva, just for everybody at home, is only 10 years of age, was a perfectly healthy 10-year-old 2 weeks ago, had a vomiting bug, went to the doctor. They noticed a little swelling in her mouth and ended up in Crumlin Hospital being told that she had rhabdomyosarcoma, which is an aggressive early childhood cancer, and unfortunately found spots in her lungs, her brain box, and it had eaten through her skull. There was no indication of this coming. They just thought that she, you know,
For her, I mean, obviously as a young person, but the family around her, they probably were putting it down to something relatively minor.
Oh, absolutely.
To get that diagnosis and the extent of it as well.
It's absolutely shocking. I mean, even the doctor thought she just had a tooth abscess.
Mm.
And she was sent to the dentist first. And the dentist was the one who said, no, this is not an abscess and you need to go and get this checked out.
Yeah.
So within 24 hours of being, you know, going for antibiotics for a vomiting bug to being told that your child had an early childhood cancer.
And it's tough on you, Freya, as well. I mean, obviously, all your thoughts are with your friend, but to get that news as well and process it, and you're a young person, a big girl, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot for you to process as well.
Yeah, it was just shocking to find out that she has cancer because, like, we saw her a few months ago and we were just, like, she was fine and she was saying she had the lump at the top of her mouth for a while. So when she found out it was cancer, she was, like, very shocked.
Well, you know, she's obviously very, very lucky to have a very supportive family around her, but also really, really good friends. So you shaving your head, is it as an act of solidarity? Is it to raise awareness even? Because, you know, Cliona would definitely know, and I'm sure you might too, Freya. These types of conversations are very important because other people might hear it and then they go, oh, okay, and we hope they don't, but maybe they do. You go, oh, okay, that sounds something similar that's in our house. And it probably won't be it, but they go and get it checked. So you're doing something very good today in raising awareness as well.
So I'm trying to think.
That's all right. That's why I've got Cliona here. She's going to... I rattle a lot, okay? So do you see your reaction there? That's what the listeners do most of the time. What's he on about?
No, so you're absolutely right.
It's just
right.
About raising awareness.
It is about raising awareness, but it's also, you know, from a friendship point of view, I think it's also... We're very proud of Freya and what she's doing, and we know that she didn't even think twice. It was the first thing she said was, right, I'm going to do this for my friend. So I think as well, they, you know, the 0 to 90 is very, I suppose, relative to everybody. It could happen to anybody this, you know, tomorrow. Not that we want it ever to happen to anybody, but it does happen. But it just goes to show that even an 11-year-old has the insight and the mindfulness to support and stand by her friend.
Okay.
So we are super, super proud of her. There is a GoFundMe page for Kiva. I know she's based in Dublin, but, you know, for me, it's, you know, this is a 10-year-old child. It could be anybody's
child. Well, listen, she's going to be going into the very same hospital that Donegal children
exactly.
go into as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Parochialism and geography is kind of out the window on something like this, aren't they?
So the GoFundMe page it's on my Facebook page. I'll share it with you guys as well. But it also brought to me that where we live, the Bumbulance service is across the road from us, and we often see them up and down. It's incredible the work that is carried out by these people to help and support families. So, you know, if anybody's got anything at home, like any, as you said earlier, every little helps, you know, that poor man who lost his boat. You know, but I think as a nation, we are very good at coming forward and
this
helping.
County is, this county
and this county is phenomenal for raising awareness.
And that's not
and
just anecdotal, it's shown in the GoFundMe figures and all.
Yep.
So what was your hair colour before Freya?
I was ginger.
And proud.
Okay, well, let's talk about it, right? So since you've gone pink in support of your friend, do you miss the red hair, or
it's kind of a mix between it, but once I buzz it, I'll have my
see. The funny thing is pink suits your complexion, you know. Sometimes people can look washed out when they change the color dramatically, but it suits you, you look great. So you can play with it as it grows back as well, too, which is fun.
She'll probably have a pink scalp, actually, to be fair.
Who did it? Did you do it?
No, it was a professional.
Well, then
her
scalp will be fine.
But her scalp should be fine. Well, okay. It might be a little bit pink. But
well, listen, it's a big deal what you're doing on many, many different levels, especially in this day and age where we put so many sort of superficial things first, like how we look or how we feel, over the big stuff. And then maybe it's a shame that you're having to face up to this now, Freya, but it sounds like you've got a great mom supporting you, and you're a great girl as well. So you're going to be with your, what's your friend's name again, sorry?
Kiva.
So you and Kiva, he's both going to get done at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And you can maybe even donate your hair, can you?
I can. I probably will donate it,
because that also can maybe go towards wigs, which helps people while their hair grows back as well, as your friends will. And it's going to be cool. You're going to look great when you go back to school.
Yeah, it's going to look so trendy.
Yeah. No, but you are. It's good because you can really play with it, because often you might want to say, you know, and I think maybe when you're older, and here's me sitting here with not a hair in my head, but, you know, we often don't do things because we think, you can play with everything. Mohawk to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah, she could do whatever she wants.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll grow back.
Exactly.
You know, it'll grow back.
So. I don't really care about my hair, to be honest.
No, of course.
It grows back.
Exactly. you've bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Right, so if you want to support Freya and her friend, of course, the GoFundMe's there. It's on Cliona's socials. We'll share it on ours as well. Cliona Kennedy, that's the social name, Cliona Kennedy.
Yeah, so it's Cliona Kennedy is my socials. Yeah. It's Freya Keeley is Freya's surname.
Okay, brilliant. All right. Okay. Well, listen. And when are you going down to do it?
Saturday
morning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well done to you.
So we'll send you some photos. We'll update you with how. how we get on.
All right. Freya's like, I'm just doing this moment.
Yeah, what are you, like, what's the big fuss? Like, yeah, yeah, come on, get over it.
But it is. And it'll bond you as strong as your bond with your friend is now. This ties you together forever because it's a big deal. It's a lovely thing to do. And it's not just your mum that's proud. You were proud of you as well to take this upon yourself because you wanted to do it straight away, didn't you? You said, I'm going to do this. All right. Well done to you, Freya. We'll look forward to the pics and the experiments as it comes back and all that kind of crack. We'll see if you stay red.
We might go gold and green, maybe. We might.
Well, there was an opportunity.
Yellow.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but I had this.
Sorry.
Someone asked me, was it gold and green or yellow and green? Yeah. And I sort of retreated from the debate. Sure. So I'm going yellow.
Yellow and green, then. We might go yellow and green.
On the way back? As it grows back, or on the way down?
Maybe as it grows back. We might.
Come on, Freya. It's your head. Come on. You're looking at your mum there. I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, we're going to be there on Sunday, aren't we?
What if I get a wig?
A wig? Okay, yeah. well, we could do,
you
that,
can do
better.
That as well. All right. Well, listen, well done to you, Cleaner, for coming in. Freya, well done to you too as well. It's brilliant. Fantastic stuff. And
thank you very
You'll remember
much.
It for your rest of your for the rest of your life with your mate, for sure. Okay, well done to yous. We'll chat soon. Bye-bye.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
We are gearing up, of course, for the weekend. It's a big weekend. Tomorrow morning on this programme, there's so much going on, I can only focus on, the score's on tonight, live from Glen Swilly, so that's a big one with Oisín Kelly. Tomorrow morning between 9 and 12, we've got live music, lots of chat, lots of conversation. We're going to have some, you know, analysis of the game, but fun, as I say, and music as well. So please tune in for that. Or watch the show as well. Then on Saturday, the team hot-foot it down to Dublin. There's a special show with Oisín Kelly, Brendan Devaney and the crew, and hopefully I'll be down in time to call over. It's in the D2 at the Harcourt Hotel. That's a special show. So if you're down in Dublin, please come along to that. And then on Sunday morning, we head over to the Bonnington in Drumcondra, where I'll be doing a show between 11 and 1. This is sort of our last fling before the commentary teams take over as we head towards the throw-in of the biggest game in the country. We are inviting you to come along and watch the show, whether you're staying in the hotel or another hotel. Come on over and have a chat to us. And you can just come in and enjoy the atmosphere. But also, if you want to eat, and it's all you can eat, for €20, you can get a all-you-can-eat buffet breakfast in the Bonnington on the morning as well, okay? And as Oisín Kelly was saying to Lee a little earlier on, you know, your standard breakfast up here is 12, 13. So to get a breakfast for 20 down in Dublin, plus it can be an all-you-can-eat breakfast as well. In other words, eat as much as you like and fill yourself for the day. It represents value. So you can turn up on the morning and just pay for your breakfast and have it. But also there's just a little bit of extra spice to this. If you go to our website and book through the website, you're also entered into the draw for an overnight stay in the Bonnington. So if you're going anyway, you might as well pre-book it, pre-order it, and then maybe you could win the overnight stay in the Bonnington. And obviously, the numbers we're looking at here, you know, it's in the hundreds, obviously, in the low hundreds. So you've probably a good chance of picking up that prize. A better chance than 1 in 2,000, if that makes sense. So if you're coming along, please do. We're going to be in great spirits. As I say, we've got Rory Gallagher there and our own David James. There's going to be plenty of music. We're going to be chatting to you. If you're prepared to chat to me, of course, find out where you're coming from, how you think the game will go, all that type of stuff. You're going to be our analysts for the day in question. So that's the D2 at the Harcourt Saturday night, the Bonnington Sunday morning 11 till 1, and then we'll make our way down to Croke Park. The score tonight from Glen Swilly, and then on this show tomorrow, and there's stuff happening throughout the day, but on this show tomorrow, it's we're going green and gold, green and yellow. It's Donegal Day, and we'll be inviting you to send in your voice messages and your pictures as well, because even some people maybe that have returned recently from countries that aren't Ireland, and maybe they're struggling to sort of get in the mood a little bit. And may I say, even to some extent, they might say, what's the big deal? Well, even those people, not mentioning any names, even those people, we're going to try and get them fully engaged in the spirit tomorrow. Get them on the bandwagon. There is one more slot on the bandwagon, Caroline. I'll reach out my hand and drag you up to it. Okay. Right, let's go to Downing's, and it's an ongoing problem here. It is the provision of broadband in Downing's. Kieran Gallagher joins me on the show now. Kieran, sorry for holding you there. I didn't realise you'd been put through just yet. How are you keeping?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. All right, so what's the story with broadband in Downing's? What are we highlighting here?
Well, about a month ago, they were cutting the grass along the verge at, opposite the Rosapenna Hotel, and the machine cut the cable. So all of Downing's lost broadband for, I think, about 2 days, and landlines were gone as well. So they came and fixed it, but unfortunately they didn't put the cables back underground. In fact, they were never underground in the first place. It seems to me that they just put the cables into a drain and let the grass grow over them.
Yeah, well, the grass cutter couldn't have caught them if they were buried. That's just, we know that as a fact.
Exactly, yeah. So I've been on to them several times, but I'm getting absolutely no response from them at all. And I can't ring them because if you ring them, they ask you for your AIR account number. I don't have an AIR account number. I'm with Sky, actually. I'm an indirect customer.
You're using their infrastructure, but you're not a paying customer directly.
That's the way it is, yeah.
And what so it seems to be... And just to paint the picture, and for those watching, they can see the picture, what seems to have happened here is the black boxes that are put on the poles, they seem to have just cobbled two of them together to reconnect and just left it sitting in the ditch.
That seems to be that's what they did, yeah.
Is the phone lines and broadband, as far as you can determine, functioning properly? What is your concern? Is it the visuals of it? Is it sort of the amateur appearance of it? Is it the risk that it could break down again? What's your principal concern, Kieran? What are you contacting them about?
I want them to put it underground again so it doesn't happen again,
Yeah, good shout, yeah.
And, I mean, somebody could come along someday with a scissors and just cut the thing again. The whole village would be gone until they come back to fix it,
100%.
It could be vandalised very, very easily,
Yeah, it's too exposed.
It's too exposed, exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, you've contacted AIR. We're going to contact them as well and see what the story is. I would suggest anyone in that area that's served by any broadband, because this is the infrastructure we're talking about here, to get in touch with them, because it's only a matter of time potentially before some idiot decides to take an axe or something to it and the area's without broadband for days.
Yeah.
All right, exactly, okay. Yeah. Right, we'll get on to them as well. Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right, Kieran, thank you. Bye-bye. That image there, if you were watching, you will have seen it. It is, listen, they got out relatively quickly given the extent of the problem and got it fixed. And it's not the staff's fault, by the way. They need to be told, there's the equipment, there's the time, go and sort that out. In terms of people abandoning their cars around piers and beaches, a caller says, same is happening at the Warden Beach Port Salon. Cars parked on blind bends with solid white lines on in the middle of the road. Okay. Let me see. Fantastic song. Similar boat myself. I'm going up and down to Dublin to soak up the atmosphere, but I hope Baveen and Daisy May or Lily May have their day when Dara and Murphy have their final say. Upon hearing that song, will make them smile, should help them go an extra mile. Thanks, Kevin. I see what you did there. You accidentally got me rapping. Greg, can you check on the membership? Social membership, non-player. Our club said this membership is not a type that can request a ticket. This surprised me and I cannot see clearly where this is outlined. I know clubs priority the players, coaches and workers, so I'm okay with it, but just was not aware. Please keep my name. Of course, they don't want their name out because they don't want any backlash. I don't know what social membership is. My understanding is that season ticket holders, your ticket's in the bag. I can't believe we've only got 12 or 1300 season ticket holders, but maybe it's a big expense. I'm not sure of that, so that might be the reason. Full adult members, those are the two cohorts. Firstly, guaranteed a ticket. Secondly, with the best shout of getting a ticket. Of course, you have to be a full member prior to March 31st. We all understand why that would be the case, right? I've never heard of social membership, if I'm completely honest with you, but I understand your understanding. What a performance from Lily May and Baveen. Well done. They were great. I'm going to cut that song and play that out on Sunday as part of our show down at the Bonington. The children sound great. Pity the GAA doesn't care about them. Hi, Greg. Just checking, is there a cover charge to view the Sunday match on the big screen in the Diamond in Donegal Town? Well, I would hope not. I can check into it. Anyway, we've got people down there listening involved in that, I'm sure. The Diamond's an open public space. I know it can be restricted when the Donegal Festival was running, but that takes bylaws and stuff. I can't imagine it is. Can anyone down there clarify for me that the big screen viewing in the Diamond is going to be good? It's going to be free, please. I can't imagine businesses would allow there to be a charge on what potentially is going to be one of the biggest days outside the biggest days of the year. And the weather's looking good as well too. Very little rain being forecast either up here or down there, which is good, isn't it? Or maybe do we want the pitch to be a little bit slippy? I don't know. A caller says, I think people would understand better about tickets for the final if the public were informed how many tickets are allocated to the local grassroots clubs, as this seems to be a major point of confusion out here in the real world. Well, there's close on 14,000 tickets going to clubs in this county. That's the figures. They are broken down amongst the 40-odd clubs. And I don't know. Then you get down to the nitty-gritty of how many were applied for in each particular club, and then what each allocation to each particular club was. And it's going to be difficult to dig into that info. But we know the top-line numbers now. A caller says, I received a scam call from an 087 number this morning to do with PayPal and to pay $6.99. I do not do PayPal, so it just hang up anyway. No one's ringing you up from 087. I say that, but one of the banks uses a mobile number. But anyway, you can go on to if you had PayPal, you can sign in and check yourself. Do not listen to anyone on the end of a phone line. Thanks, Greg, for highlighting that the USA are supplying arms to Israel. Just stating facts. I've no skin in the game. I just want the genocide of an entire country to stop, like everybody else does, or any, I think, reasonably minded person would want. Stop it. You know, this is a man-made catastrophe. Not only just the bombing and destruction and maiming of people, but now the starvation of them whilst regular Israelis a couple of hundred miles away sip cocktails with their feet up. I was in a local supermarket recently. I had two tickets for the lotto. One was Euro Millions and one was for the Irish lotto. I had the numbers for the Irish lotto. The shopkeeper told me that there was nothing on my ticket. I questioned him that I had three bonus numbers as I'd watched it on TV and I knew how I'd won. He then checked it and I'd won €24. I just want to make people aware when checking their numbers. It's really important. I trust people implicitly, but people make mistakes. And I've seen in shops people handing 7 or 8 tickets to people and they're going, beep, nah, beep, nah, beep, nah. No, I'd have to check the numbers individually or at least use the app. You can download the app on the phone. Don't log in so you don't get bombarded to keep gambling on the lotto, but you can check your tickets. You can scan your tickets. As I say, I'm not casting any shade on people working in shops. Sometimes they're too busy and don't realise maybe that there was a winning ticket there. Okay, we've spoken on a number of occasions to Greencastle fisherman Liam O'Brien just on, you know, various issues facing the fishing industry. This is slightly different, Liam. What did you come across there recently?
Good morning, Greg. No, we had a wee seal that came in around Christmas time onto the harbour. Mm. It had been under maybe a year old with the photographs we sent to Port O'Ferry Seal Sanctuary. But we discovered that the seal had monofilament net around his neck and cutting in, it was actually growing into his neck. There was a large laceration to one side of his neck. Mm-hmm. And one of his flippers was bound up with the net. So it left him sort of disability of swimming and get that there. So we were on to Port O'Ferry where they offered if we got the seal captured, they would one willingly come up and we get the net off him. So one day we got a sort of a plan together and we watched where the net was caught around him. Another fisherman and myself got the net off him and it come off him like a jumper. But to get the thrust to get the seal, he started feeding. We were at the herding at the time and he started feeding. We played him off against the seagulls for a competition. They come in for competition for the food, so he started to come closer because he was getting nothing. We got the thrust of the seal. He started to feed out of my hand, and a number of other fishermen was doing the same. So he sort of come onto the harbour, he got the thrust of the fishermen in the harbour and a lot of other people, and we got the net off him, so he was basically healing. We're studying the progress, and we're hoping then he would likely go back out into the wild again, so which he was ready to do. He was actually going, he was moving out of the harbour, out to the outer break, out to the breakwater between up and the main pier, and he was starting to go to the harbour. We're wondering how he'd go. We likely thought he would likely go with an extra run of herring coming, because there'd be a colony of seals will come with the herring. He'd likely take up with them, because there was other seals way back was doing the same, coming in, and they were a wee bit down, and they needed they'd stay there, they would get fed, and they're doing the same. They take you would get the thrust in, they take the fish out of your hand.
And how long then had you said named him locally, Zig? How long then had he sort of become a feature of the area, if you know what I mean, before the most recent events?
Well, there was people putting it up on their Facebook pages and all, and people got to know. And people was in the harbour then. They seen what was going on with the seal, and the seal was friendly. It would come up along the side of the harbour, and it wasn't actually feared of anybody. And that's the guilt I have. I give it too much trust, and it started getting right around. And people was coming to the harbour. Families were taking their children, and even the older people, and even retired people here, would be out doing their morning walks. The first thing they'll go over to what we call the Old Knolls, to be over to see, is he there? And even as recent as yesterday, there was a family of four come down there with their mother and father, and the first thing they made over to see was the seal there. And there was a couple from Derry that come down here for their walk, and they'd go over and they'd do the same. They'd have their grandchildren, they'd have their grandchild and all down with them. And they'd go over, and I had to tell them. I told the parents, but I had to tell the older people. And even recently this morning, there's a retired Welsh couple there, and I had to tell them this morning. They were asking, I says, I had to give them bad news, but look.
And the bad news is that Zig was shot.
I fed the seal on the 8th of July, because I was been down fishing prawns down in the Irish Sea, and the boat was not here. So the other fishermen, actually an Irish skipper, you'll see it on the back page of the Irish Skipper Fishing News. Mm. One of the other fishermen had, he was feeding him and his father. And his father, no, we all fished, no, we had our issues with seals and that, the salmon. But the salmon's over. The seals didn't get rid of your salmon. Your government got rid of your salmon. But so, like, the seals were there, and it grew a bond, actually. It changed an attitude to a lot of the fishermen here, and especially the onshore fishermen here. It grew a different attitude to them, because, you know, they were all, even as he's lucky, if you want fish, they're over in the freezer there, and they were getting herring, so we were getting the fish. So we'd leave fish there for even the children over there. We'd leave fish over, they wanted to cut them up, because we didn't want to feed them too much. So if you're throwing every fish in, we'd cut them in half and let them share them out, but not... Not giving a thing, but sure, he was working away with everybody in the harbour, and there was no bother, and he was throwing a tourist attraction. They were coming there, and look, I fish in other harbours, in Clarehead, Kilkeel, and Howth. You wouldn't touch a seal. You wouldn't touch a seal, because the fishermen would run you out of it. Seems been attitude.
I actually kind of thought that seals were kind of viewed as the, you know, the enemy of the fishermen, but you're saying that's maybe of the past and not the way it is anymore.
It's not the way it is anymore. It's not the way it is. And there was always this myth that this seal would eat a squid a day. That is not the case. Maybe a large seal would maybe eat up to maybe 4 or 5 kilos of fish a day. That would be his diet. It's not. He doesn't eat his full weight. He does not eat his full weight. And, you know, the more you learn about it, and the more people and get into studying them and that there, and get the positive information. Mm. But that was like a scaremongering tactic that the fishermen, that we're going to eat all the fish. It's never the case.
Okay.
And anybody with any knowledge and the experts will tell you that. They don't even know, in France, the fishermen now, the thing now, they can go out and take tourists out to the rocks and the colonies of seals. And it's not the issue at all.
Right, so, I mean, you see this as a criminal matter. You are, or have reported it to the Gardaí?
Yeah. I have reported it. I'm due for an interview, I think, today with the guards because they're sort of busy there at the moment and the station and the hall doesn't be open. I seen the photographs, showed them the photographs, and to make a statement today.
I mean, what do you think happened here, Liam? Do you think someone just let off a shot from the shore for the crack, or do you think someone was trying to call a Zig, or what's your working theory? And yet, obviously, not mentioning any names or anything.
Like, I know there's a lot of rumours and this and that, but like one of the fishermen, which is entitled by law, has guns licensed. He told me, look, I'll give my gun up for ballistics and all the rest. Mm. He says to give him out, but he was disgusted. Mm. He was disgusted because it actually had sort of a shell shock thing of the salmon away back with seals, but it had sort of won him over too. And he was actually feeding them too when we were at the herring, redding out the nets. Yeah. We're herring lying the nets. After we come in and land our catch, you'd be reading out the nets they were feeding them. So it was, you didn't go down the shore because we know, and looking at the whole thing, like you can't go down where the mobile walk, the built up area. It was done in a confined space between the breakwater and that because it actually gassed up and it started floating. And there was people out in the boat on the Sunday. After that, maybe the 13th,
mm.
and they said the boat, the seal was floating. It was dead.
So you can kind of timeline it. That's probably about 8 or 9 days or something. Yeah.
Yes, the seal was floating in between the harbour and the breakwater. So basically, it was spring tide, so the tides moved, the one like they moved, and it moved upper. People was walking the beach, people walked the shorefront, seen the seal, and someone notified me about the seal.
Okay.
So I went up to investigate, and when I got up, it broke my heart to see, it was Sig.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. It's a sad old case.
He was starting to decompose and that there, so with animals and people walking the shorefront, so I had to bury him. Mm. And then I asked they'd be walking short pump just to see because the gases will expel after a while as they decay, so the sand and that the stones over to keep the animals away. So he had to bury him up on the beach. But a lot of people here are just devastated by what was done. Mm. And it's not the people in Greencastle or Mabul or that there. They're not that type of people that there's somebody in our community could do that. Like the day of the war, the seals is over. And you know, get with this past, but it's not us up to dictate.
Okay, well, listen, it's a sad old story. It's a shame that someone found themselves. It's a shame someone did that. All right, we'll see if it ends up being the subject of an appeal or how seriously the Gardaí take it or what have you. But listen, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate
Greg,
it.
Greg, yes. A lot of people say is the best place this should be that we've authors here. But you won't see them during the day. They come out at night, and we have these seals in the harbour. There is a protection on the Mammal Act, and we want an area and to be protected for these seals coming in. If they do come in, look, we're not going to capture them. We'll feed them. We'll let them sort of wild, and that there as a command, they're supposed to be protected, and we're looking for an area for a protective area for the seals along here and the otters. Mm-hmm. They're a part of the marine life here, and as like the way the fishing is at the moment, like there's no young men coming on. We seen there yesterday, lucky enough, and I know the boys not
Daniel
there.
Daniel and the crew.
Daniel and the feller Danny and them, and like me and Danny have fished for years, and the young boys are the last of the generation coming into the industry and the inshore industry, and we all have to work with the sea, but we all have to respect it too and respect what's on them.
All right then, listen, thanks so very much, Liam. I do appreciate it. And as I say, I didn't know the war with seals was over. And not that would in any way justify this type of action either, by the way. But it's an interesting angle from Liam, a local fisherman there. There's going to be a sensory screening of the game on Sunday. It's happening in iCare. They're going to have multiple screens showing the game, some silent rooms and some with sound. And they're providing a safe and secure area for people with sensory difficulties to be able to enjoy the match. Thanks to Agnes, who let me know about that. In at Carlocha and Dunluwi, they're showing the match on the big screen, I am told. It's from 2 o'clock. There's no charge. Please take your own refreshments, but there'll be tea and coffee on the day. And also someone says, did the hedge cutter that we were talking about, the hedge cutter caught the broadband outside Downing's there. A caller says, did the hedge cutter cut all the flags in Downing's too? Because they're very few visible. Ooh, bit of a dig there. I don't know where that might be coming from. Right, okay, let's go to Shane now, because I referenced this a little earlier on and we carried it on the news yesterday, and it is a suspicious approach of a young person. And as I say, very important to get that information out there. Shane, thanks for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, all right. So what happened on Tuesday evening?
On Tuesday, my daughter, she's 14, was out walking two dogs. We live in the Gartley area there, and she was walking down a kind of a block down by Ballyrain and back up again. And as she was coming back up from the kind of Gartley area there, before she got to Whitethorn Park, there was a man in a white car slowed down. She had headphones in, you know, and he was kind of stopped. Now, she was walking up the road on the right-hand side footpath, so he was driving, obviously, on the left-hand side of the road. But he put down the driver's window, and he started to kind of call to her. And she took out the headphones to see what was going on, and he started to ask her, did she want a vape?
Mm-hmm.
And she said no. And he repeated that, did she want a vape again? And she said no. And then he started to ask her, did she want to get in the car with him? So she repeated, this happened a couple of times, and she was walking two dogs, and the dogs started to get agitated and to bark and to pull on the leads a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this man drove on, he drove on up the road then, up towards the kind of college to alley, up that direction.
And did she say he was trying to sort of be charming and ingratiate, or was he aggressive, or did it all happen so quick?
No, it wasn't aggressive. It kind of came on her a bit quickly, as right, and said she had the headphones in, but asked him did he want vapes, and she thought originally he was kind of trying to sell her a vape.
Yeah.
You know, she's 14, you know, did she want a vape? And she's like, no. And then she thought it was a bit odd. And then he beckoned her, or called her to get into the car with him. And I suppose at that stage, she realised this is not right.
Something serious. So how did she describe him? What do we know about him?
What do we know about him? It broke in English. And he was, I don't know what.
He wasn't Caucasian,
no.
Yeah, okay, so he had broken
brown
English.
Brown-skinned or brown whatever, skinned. Okay, whatever you want to describe it, you know.
And that doesn't mean he hasn't lived here for 20 years, but that's just an indicator for people to keep an eye out. And the car itself was what type of car? A white?
A Mazda. It was a 211 Dublin Rage.
Right.
It was like a Mazda CX-30 or that type of thing.
She's very observant to be able to pick up this info, which is important.
It was, and she was a bit annoyed with herself because she had her phone with her, she had the headphones in, she was listening to the music, and she's annoyed with herself that she didn't take a photo.
No, oh, I think she's done all right with between the description and the car. I think she's done well.
Yeah, well, she left the house anyway and started to tell me, and I was like, right, hang on a minute. And I started to go through the details with her again. You know, and she's like, what's wrong, Daddy? And I was like, well, this is not right, you know. You know, so I said, we started to kind of write down a few bits and pieces, and I had to wait for my wife then to get home from work because I had other children in the house, and we just stayed up at the Garda station then.
And how seriously did they take it? Because they got good information there from your daughter.
he was very confident that their system would spit out something, you know, because the fact that the Mazda Jeeps aren't that, or the small Jeep type thing, they're not that popular and white, and the fact you said the 211 Dublin Rage, you know, would seriously narrow it down. But I haven't heard anything back from them yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, they say to us that Gardaí have confirmed that inquiries are ongoing into a suspicious approach in Letterkenny. It's understood a young girl was approached by a man. We've mentioned all of that. And the man's alleged to have asked the girl to get into the vehicle. But you know your daughter. She's switched on. She was able to tell you the details without fear. And I think it was only when she was chatting that the penny dropped. So that's how you can be so sure
account.
Exactly. All right. Okay. Well, if anyone else has any further details, I mean, obviously the Gardaí are the people to get in touch with. No adult male driving a vehicle should be approaching any young person, regardless of their motivations, asking them if they want a vape, or certainly if they don't, do they want to get into the car. That is incredibly troubling, and whomever is responsible needs to have a very stern talking to, at the very least, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, okay. Listen, thanks for that. I do appreciate it, Shane.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, see you soon. Thanks for helping us get the message out there. Any similar approaches around the area, similar vehicles? As I say, it's really good. It's good information that is there. Shane's daughter, obviously, very mature, very observant. So we'll get an update from Gardaí, of course, but maybe there's been other approaches. Does someone do that once? Is that just they do it once, then they go, I'm not doing it again? Or are they serial offenders, if I could use that word? A caller says €150 for a season ticket. It covers all your National League games, but you still have to pay for all your Ulster Championship and All-Ireland sales tickets. I think you get €5 for the price, but still paid full price for the All-Ireland final and the Ulster final. Yeah, but you get your ticket. That's that thing. I mean, that actually, I didn't know what the price might be. So you get, it covers your National League games, which obviously there's more interest in them. They're sellouts now in some cases. But you still have to pay for your Ulster Championship and All-Ireland senior tickets. I think for anyone who doesn't want to go through this again, and I know I'm throwing figures out there like it's nothing, but I think it's I think that's probably a good investment. The GEA should be ashamed and embarrassed, says the listener. It's ridiculous, not enough tickets given out to the local clubs, the amount of people looking for tickets and can't get any. I don't know what the shortfall is between applications and how many tickets come into the county. So between season tickets and club applications, it's around 15,000. That's what's coming into Donegal. In terms of those who are trying to source tickets through clubs who are members of those clubs, and you could say entitled to a ticket, I don't know what the figure is. Right, I discussed that. A caller says the original Donegal colours were green and orange, and I don't think it should have been changed to yellow. There you go. How far back is that? I probably should know, but anyway, I don't off the top of my head. Right, so tomorrow is Donegal Day here on the 9 till noon show, and hopefully across the region. I mean, you don't need us to encourage you. Obviously, you're leading out the amazing support for our amazing group of lads heading down to Dublin on Saturday to hopefully go all the way on Sunday. So tomorrow, we are kind of easing our foot off the serious pedal. We're going to lean into it big time. I'm going to have my Donegal jersey on. I'm going to be on the bandwagon. We've got loads of live music. Caroline's going to have a jersey on. I mean, if you've got one, that she will take a free one. If she gets a free one, she'll wear it. Okay, so if you want your business mentioned, get a shirt up here to Caroline. She will wear it tomorrow. We'll post a picture of it on Facebook and give you a plug. It's not that she's tied by any stretch. It's just to get her in the mood. That's what we're looking to do. So that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. And throughout the day, of course, there's going to be loads of activities. We build up to the biggest day that we've seen in sport in this county for a very, very long time. Saturday night, get along to the D2 in in Dublin, of course, at the Hard Court. Oisín's going to be there, Brendan Devaney there. Loads of chat, loads of music. I'm going to call across if possible. Then on Sunday morning from 11 o'clock, join me in the Bonnington for another 2 hours of analysis, chat and crack. And get your breakfast there as well. It's 20 quid and all you can eat breakfast. You don't have to be resident in the hotel. And you don't actually have to have the breakfast either, of course. Just come along, say hi. We can all walk down to Croke Park together. And then on Monday, I don't know what we're doing. It all depends on how the day goes. I mean, if we win... we'll have better access to reaction and content. I've been told we might do the show from there. Maybe Oisin can join me for a bit of a two-hander. I sent a text to Aisin about 20 minutes ago along these lines. I'm not going to lie, the text back wasn't necessarily positive, if the truth be told. But we'll be okay, everyone. We'll be okay. So if we win, we might stay down and do the show from Monday because, as I say, we'll be able to get loads of reaction and have loads of time for that and for your reaction and for your conversation as well. But that's all up in the air and we're not planning anything too firm because we just simply don't know yet and we don't want to count those chickens because the little buggers haven't hatched yet. But anyway, be that as it may, don't forget the build-up continues throughout the day regularly on air. You've got the school show tonight from Glen Swilly with Oisin. You've got Oisin down in Dublin then tomorrow evening from the D2. I'm coming from the Bonnington. Full live match commentary of the game on Sunday as well. The build-up and the throw-in, the post-match reaction. And fingers crossed, if we win, we might even do a very special show, a 9 till noon show from Dublin on Monday morning as well. But that's all still in the... all still in the mix. All right, it's good, isn't it? Isn't it nice that we've got something positive to talk about and it's given us a lift? And for once, all the headlines about Donegal are all positive. Okay, that's where we leave it today. Thanks very much for listening. Great to have Caroline back after her break, although Donna Marie did an excellent job as well. And thanks to Shannon. And we're all back tomorrow morning at 9. But